Welcome back to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Mary Knoll. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Think, let your mind go, let yourself be free. What's in a name? Sometimes plenty, sometimes more than meets the eye. Do you recall what title the Bush administration came up with to pitch the plan to invade Iraq? The original moniker for the war was Operation Iraqi Liberation, acronym OIL. Oops. No, what we meant to say was Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yeah, that's the ticket. Names, titles, words are often used to disguise things, to trip us up, and fairly often it works. Since the 90s, there has been a constant seesawing battle between those who want to protect and mend affirmative action laws and those who paint the principle as reverse discrimination and want it dead and buried. In November 1996, in California, the most successful legislative move to push back against affirmative action and gains made by minorities over the last 30 years was packaged in Proposition 209, approved by voters 54-46%. Legislative analysts have offered that Prop 209 and similar initiatives have been successful in California, Washington, and Michigan by tapping into long-standing white resentment at the tools used to fight the legacy of slavery and racism. Whether that perception is correct or not, now Prop 209 is coming to a theater near you, cleverly rechristened as a civil liberties initiative using language about preferences. And the front man? A major league, well-connected real estate businessman who happens to be African-American, Ward Connerly. Connerly has even used the anomalies of this year's political campaigns, i.e. a white woman and a black man running for president, to illustrate that such minorities obviously no longer need any help. Mr. Connerly, or Connerly and Associates, works from within two nonprofit organizations he founded, the American Civil Rights Institute and the American Civil Rights Coalition. Funds earned by these nonprofits have been used to promote his anti-affirmative action campaigns. Now, Connerly and Associates are under congressional investigation for possible violation of tax laws governing nonprofits. As in 2006, he received $1.6 million, which is 66% of the $2.4 million his nonprofits generated that year. In California, in the 6 years prior to the passage of Proposition 209, women and other minority-owned businesses received 22% of all state Department of Transportation construction contracts. But in the 6 years since its passage, contracts granted to such firms have dropped by half, resulting in the loss of about $1.4 billion. When Ms. Magazine first appeared on the publishing scene in 1971, it was expected to have a very short lifespan. The movement turned magazine has outlived its critics, and journalist and executive editor for Ms., Kathy Spiller, brought the work of Mr. Connerly to our attention. Now, our Kathy Golden with Ms. Magazine's Kathy Spiller.
I'm speaking this morning with Catherine Spiller, executive director of Ms. Magazine, among other things. The story on Ward Connerly. Wow. I reread it last night because it's hard to believe that something so transparent is lurking in the shadows, you know?
Exactly. And in fact, he relies on deception to be able to win passage of these anti-civil rights initiatives. In fact, he calls them civil rights initiatives, which is his first mark of deception. Then he never wants to talk about the fact that these initiatives really are designed very cleverly to ban affirmative action programs for women and for minorities in public education, public jobs, and what he really never wants to talk about is its impact on public contracting and what happens to women and minority-owned businesses in the wake of passage of one of these initiatives.
Kathy, could you give our listeners some background on Ward Connerly and what he's done in the past with this initiative as well?
Yes, the reason your listeners are interested is he is now going into five other states this fall. These anti-affirmative action initiatives will be on the ballot in Colorado and Arizona, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Nebraska if he is successful at gathering all the required signatures. But we know that he has access to big conservative money, and so I'm sure he's going to be able to afford to get enough signature gatherers out there. These initiatives are called civil rights initiatives, but they're not. They're really anti-civil rights initiatives, and they're modeled after an initiative called Prop 209 that was on the ballot here in California, where I'm based, 12 years ago now. Mr. Connerly came out of really nowhere. He was recruited by the backers of this initiative, and he was recruited for three reasons. He was very close to then-Governor Pete Wilson and had access to tremendous amounts of big money from conservative interests and business interests in California. He was a UC Regent. Governor Wilson had appointed him to the Board of Regents of the University of California system. And so he came in with education credentials, but in truth, he has not spent his life in education, but that is how he presented himself to the public. And thirdly, he's an African American. And who better than to have an African American man out campaigning for something that looks like it's for civil rights, but in effect will destroy many of the gains of the civil rights movement? And who he really is, as he has spent most of his adult career as a lobbyist and a consultant for the big contractors who stand to benefit the most when these initiatives are passed. I'm talking about the big road construction contractors, the big public works contractors, you know, the big guys that get these multi-million dollar state and federal and local contracts to build airports and roads and freeways and bridges and schools and libraries, all the kinds of things that government does but contracts out the construction and services to these private companies. And they're the ones he really represented as he went into this fight. They helped fund some of the biggest early money here in California to get the initiative on the ballot. And in the wake of passage of Prop 209 here in California, we have seen women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses that before had been encouraged to go out and bid on these contracts. In fact, these great big contractors who he has worked for were required to go outreach to women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses and say, hey, we've got this big contract to build the 405 freeway bridge. We need someone who does concrete pouring, and you're in the business. Give us a bid. They didn't have to take the bids, but they were encouraged to go out and recruit these bids. And as a result, women and minority-owned businesses at the time, right before 209 passed, we're getting about 27% of these subcontracts and contracts from the Transportation Department here in California.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Ms. Magazine Executive Director, Catherine Spiller. This is Voices of Our World.
In just the first 6 years after, those numbers were cut in half, and we figure conservatively that $1.4 billion was lost by women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses. Today, it's only about 8% of all these contracts now are women-owned businesses and minority businesses are bidding on and successfully winning. It's put many of them out of business, and these big contractors have laughed all the way to the bank. And now they're going to try and do it in five more states this fall. And Ms. Magazine did a whole investigation of this, hoping to alert the majority of voters who, when asked in a public opinion poll, support civil rights and support affirmative action, especially women and minorities, but who easily could be deceived by the way this initiative is named as the Colorado Civil Rights Initiative or the Missouri Civil Rights Initiative, and by the wording, which is so deceptive that you think you're voting for civil rights when really you're voting to destroy these affirmative action programs that have helped women and minorities open doors and walk through those doors.
Now, where have I seen that before? Well, you've laid it out here, but the first time out of the box in California, how did he keep the lid on this so that no one could see what was really going on? How did this get passed?
Well, everybody saw it instantly. The problem is, very hard in 15-second commercial to explain to people that something called the California Civil Rights Initiative really is not. He literally has used much of the wording right out of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. But he's thrown a couple of phrases in that the courts here in California have interpreted and state and local government has interpreted to mean that you can't outreach to women and to minority-owned businesses to make sure they know about how to bid for these government contracts. You can't encourage these big Associated General contractors that are virtually all white and male You can't even encourage them to go out and subcontract and bid out the subcontracts to women and minorities. And you sort of look the other way as they just give all these contracts to their buddies. We've gone backwards to just where the good old boy system is ruling in the public contracting arena. And yet, because Mr. Connerly, and I think this was part of the deception in California, that the mainstream traditional media just accepted wholesale, a line, hook, and sinker, was that he was concerned about education. And he framed the debate so that, you know, the whole focus was on whether some kid was getting into college over a more qualified, read, white kid into the university system. That isn't what the focus should have been on, but that's where he was able to focus it because of his position as a regent for the UC system. What it should have been on is who's going to benefit most when these initiatives pass, and it, lo and behold, it was the very big general contractor interest that he'd been working for his whole adult life. He never wanted to talk about his real business, which is he's a consultant and a lobbyist for these building interests and these contractor interests, and they're the ones who have cleaned up out here in the wake of Prop 209. I do want to say that there's always hope, because when voters know that this will eliminate affirmative action, they vote against it. Stay informed and don't let these deceptive opponents of equality get away with it.
Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention, Catherine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's an election year, and we're going to be served up a lot of untruths about candidates and proposed legislation. The question is, how gullible are we?
On this or any topic, get radioactive and tell us what you think. Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL, MARYKNOLL. Or dial 877-627-9566. There you go. Always take the weather with you. For all of us here at Voices of Our World, thanks for listening. Presidential candidate and Congressman Bob Barr and Catherine Spiller, executive director of Ms. Magazine, are just two of the voices of our world. And if you enjoy this program, you may also enjoy Mary Knoll's new Spanish show, Voces de Nuestro Mundo. Just visit our website for more information. I'm your host, Eileen Bott, and today's show was produced by Kathy Golden. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, website, or Mary Knoll. You heard music today. Aretha Franklin, Bruce Springsteen, Modest Mouse, and India RE. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org to learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish. Call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Get radioactive and join us next time for more Voices of Our World. Always take the weather with you everywhere you go. Always take